Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Hi there, listeners. Thank you once again for joining us on the podcast. On the last podcast, I spoke about raising a free-willed child, and I've realized afterwards that that might have left a lot of open-ended questions in terms of how to practically raise a free-willed child. So I decided that I might make some follow-on podcasts just to explain that. I hope that you do find it interesting, and once again, it's just I'm not a theological student. This is purely me and my Bible and what I feel that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. And so I don't really want to say that I'm open for correction. I would prefer to say, because what I feel the Holy Spirit has showed me, I hold dear, and I hold it above the opinions of men. Not to say that I'm not accountable, but if I find it in the Word of God, and if I feel that the Lord has given me a revelation to it, I hold that as very precious and dear. And so I'm just going to give you some background to what I believe. But once again, I always encourage you as a listener to go and search the scriptures for yourself, because they say that children don't come with a manual, but I believe the contrary. I believe all the answers are in the Word of God. I believe children come with their Maker, and I believe that one of my favorite scriptures is that it is a king's privilege to conceal a matter, God's privilege to conceal a matter, and for kings to search it out. So, so listen and just decide what you feel is for you. And if you don't feel that it's for you, it's actually okay to, it's healthy to go and think, well, what is my standpoint on this, and go and develop your own idea, because you are a free will child of God. Okay, so let's start in the beginning in Genesis. In Genesis, it says that before the foundations of the world, there was darkness that covered the earth and deep waters. And I want to start off with just saying that it amazes me that there were deep waters. I always wonder, I'm a creative person myself, and I love the fact that God makes amazing things out of nothing. But it does make me think, what were the deep waters? I believe the deep waters were actually the rushing waters of God. Because in Revelations 14 verse 2 it says, "And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters." So I personally believe that the waters that covered, and later on we also hear in scripture, I'll have to go and look at where that scripture is, but it says that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So I believe that God, His voice, His being is the sound of rushing waters. And that's so exciting for me, because I believe that things are born from rushing waters. Even if we are born again, we are baptized by water. John baptized by water, and then Jesus, we get baptized into the Holy Spirit as well. So there's something about the waters, the rushing waters of God. There's also the scripture that says, out of you will flow rivers of living water. I believe that those waters, that living water that first covered the earth, is the glorious presence of love, the living, powerful God. And God has said that He comes to make His home in us in through Jesus, by faith and by repenting of our sins and accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. We become the temples, the hosting place, the habitation place of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, out of us flow rivers of living water. Those living waters are the presence, the creative, life-giving, powerful Word of God that begins to flow out of us. So, that is where it starts off with. the waters. But then God made the world. So this speaks to me of what the position of a father is. He is a provider. And remember, God is, people are made in the image of God. So he is God the Father, but he encompasses all of the mother role, all of the father role. And so therefore he is a provider and a planner. We know that as women, we love to plan. I just think of the fact that before you have a baby, one of the most exciting things is to think of the prams and all the high chairs, all the things that you need, and planning the nursery. Well, I think God is exactly the same, and we're made in the image of God, and that's why we get excited about that. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And, you know, it makes me think about the fact that God is such a planner. He's always planning. He's been planning before the foundations of the earth. And even now, even then, we see scriptures that back this up, which say things like, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God has been planning for us before the foundations of the world, good plans to prosper us and not to harm us. He planned and he provided. He provided vegetation that was going to be our food. He provided trees that would provide oxygen for us to breathe in. And those trees also provided shade for us. And think of all the things that we make with the wood of trees. He provided waters for us to drink and hydrate us. He provided sunshine. Think of how vitamin D, how sunshine brings to life things. Okay, and so talk about decorating a nursery or preparing for a child. God was next level in this regard. He was planning and preparing for us before he even conceived the first human being on the earth. So we made in his image, and we also like planning and preparing. In John 14 verse 3, it says he is still preparing. Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us. So we don't even need to worry about what the plan of God is for us, because he has been planning. He is planning. He will always be planning. So even for mothers or children of unplanned pregnancies, we don't need to be robbed of the lie that we were unplanned, because the God of all creation planned you and I. In fact, in Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says that before the foundations of the earth, God planned us. So that is so cool. I love that part. And there's so much to go into that. We could really unpack that. But for the sake of time, let's move on to where God made human beings. In Genesis 1 verse 25, it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God was going to make people in his image. And it's interesting that he said, let us make human beings. So we were meant to fit into an us. We were not meant to fit, like, we actually part of a body after we are part of a family, the family of God. The Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we were made in his image. So what was God's intention for us? I believe that there are six things that come out of Scripture. First of all, that God made us in his image and God reigns. And at a later stage, I want to unpack what it means to reign. Secondly, God blessed us. Thirdly, God said that we should be fruitful and multiply. So we were created to reign. We were created to bless and be a blessing. We were created to be fruitful and multiply. Where there is love, there is multiplication. Where there is love, there's reigning. Where there is love, there's blessing. We were created to fill the earth. We are always created to expand and grow, not to shrink back, okay, to fill the earth. And to cultivate it. We are culture carriers. Kingdom is a culture, and we are created to cultivate. Okay. So, I mean, there's so much in all of that. And I just want to tell you that actually I haven't spent hours making this podcast, I woke up this morning and I meant to be going to school, but I just felt that the Lord was saying to me that I need to actually add to what I spoke on. And I'm just trying to download what I feel that heaven and Jesus is speaking to me on this. And so I'm sure there's a whole lot more that can be unpacked in this. Isn't that always the case with scripture and with what God says? There's always multi-layers, and then you realize, oh, in this truth there's another truth, and in that truth there's another truth. It's like Russian dolls. Anyway, another thing for cultivation is where it says that, for the Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. So we were meant to govern the earth, to look after rain and govern all the living things, look after the soil. And so, yes, God was all about taking care of the planet. But the planet was not to be above human beings. God created the planet for us, not us for the planet. That's what I believe. Okay, so we are made in the image of God. God is love. And we know the favorite scripture, love is patient, love is kind. And yes, those are all the verbs that love is. But I want to say that looking at Genesis, love reigns, love blesses, love multiplies, love is fruitful, love governs, love cultivates. Love is a culture. Love is a culture. So, I do believe that God has a perfect will. Okay? So when I was talking about God raising free-willed children, I do not believe that children should run the family, and that because they have free will, they should have free reign. No, I still believe that they are placed in a family to understand what reigning looks like and what family looks like. I'm not an advocate for a family working around a child and for everything being child-led. But I do believe in the fact that I don't believe children should be seen and not heard. And so that is why I have felt to do the second podcast. So God created us with choice. God created us with free will. Okay. Even in Genesis 2 verse 15, we see that it says, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree except. Okay. So God gave us freedom. And our children have freedom to choose some things in our family. Okay. Some things. Right. Because they are still within our family. So there is freedom, but God does want us to use that choice to freely choose Him and to freely choose obedience to His perfect will. And it's not because of the fact that He wants us to be His servants. I believe it's because He wants us to be His sons and His daughters and to inherit a kingdom. And He wants us to be powerful and to reign with Him, seated in heavenly places, to rule and reign over the earth, to make sure that everything around us is cultivating a kingdom of heaven. There's no lack in heaven. Heaven and the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So He's wanting us, the sons and daughters made in the image of God, to begin to create heaven on earth. Jesus said that we should pray that. So what does that look like? Everywhere we go, we powerfully invade it with the love of God. We powerfully bring it back into alignment with the will of God, which is love, which is order. Okay, so I guess that's what I'm just trying to say, that I'm not saying ever that we should just allow our children to decide what goes on. That makes me think of the fact that I'm a little bit further along the line in parenting than toddler stage. And we know that at 2 years old, children begin to have a favorite word called no. And they realize that they have an ability to exercise that free will, right? And we also know about the power struggles. I also believe that there is an emotional time at about age 3 or 4 where children realize that it's no longer just the word, but their emotions can change in atmosphere. And if they're moody or if they cry, they can actually cause their family to work around what they want to do. And I think that we should be very careful, obviously, not to give in to allowing our children to exercise that will, that free will that God gave them, to cause chaos. I'm definitely a believer in discipline, but I don't believe that we use control. Control is a very powerful tool, because fear and intimidation always causes us to come into line, but it doesn't cause us to buy in. It causes us to just submit so that we don't get hurt, but actually we want it. There's no love in control. So I do believe that if your child is doing something that they shouldn't, obviously you need to save their life by teaching them and training them on how to do that. And I'll unpack that later, but what I just wanted to say is that even teenagers in stature, my teenagers, Luke is 15 and Grace is 17. If you look at my photos, they are taller physically than Doug and I. And that's actually such a funny thing to experience now for me, because I know that even academically and technologically, they may have possibly progressed further than what Doug and I have. But I know in my innermost being that they haven't lived a whole lot of life yet. So they might have eaten, or they might have seen the knowledge of good and evil, but still they need to understand that there needs to be an umbilical cord and a connection to me and Doug and their forefathers and the family that they've been born into, because that is where their life comes from. And just like that, that's in the natural, that they have access to my life experiences. In fact, the Jews call it a word yada, which is knowledge that comes through experience. They have access to my experience and the unconditional love Doug and I have for them. If they choose to listen and honor their parents. I always think that to dishonor your parents, whether they're good or bad, is like a tree that curses its roots. So that to me is talking about family tree. We are created for family. In fact, it's quite funny, but we actually fit into each other. Think about a man and woman, they fit into each other to become one, even physically, like puzzle pieces. And woman, a child is carried within a woman. So we are physically, even as a family unit, created to be one, just like the Trinity is created as one. And we are created to fit into God. We should be abiding in the love of God. There is a bloodline that we have access to from the blood of Jesus that now we can inherit and have access to the wisdom and the life that is found in God, who created the whole heavens and everything within it. This is a massive concept. This is just something that I'm trying to unpack, and I'm trying to explain what I feel is revelation to me. It's just the fact that now I want to be in line with the perfect will of God. I don't want to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I may think I know everything. And that's where I believe that why God said don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All I think that happened when they ate that was that they decided the sin was that they didn't trust the love of God anymore. The enemy came and said, did God really say this to you? He came and brought distrust. So in a family, your children need to trust you. If they trust you and they trust that you are following God, you submitted to the will of God, all things flow like love, like oil from Aaron's head. It flows beautifully down. So I hope you're just getting some keys as I'm chatting. I'm actually just freewheeling here, just because this is things that I like to think about. So basically, from God is the head, and then all things flow. We see how Jesus submitted to the will of God. He took the cup of suffering for our sake. He even said to God, can it pass from me? And then he took the cup. He was obedient even unto death. But I don't think he did that. He exercised his free will and he submitted to love. And so that's where I think that we don't need to partner with control. Love is so powerful. Love is so powerful. The harder you love, the easier it is for your children to submit. The more you see God as perfect love, the more you want to just get into His will. Even if you have to do the hard things, you know that you are in the perfect will of love. Okay? So we are created to do the perfect will of God. I feel like there's so much more to say, but I actually have to go and get ready for my day teaching right now. But I'd love you to just think over these things, and I'll definitely put together another podcast because I think that this is going to look practically deeper. I'm so thankful that the Lord woke me up this morning with this to share on my heart. But I want you to know that you have a Heavenly Father that has been planning for you before the foundations of the earth. He's planning eternity for you. He even knows how to plan for your breath. He knows how to plan for your thirst. He knows how to plan for your hunger. He knows how to plan for your shelter. He knows how to plan for your emotions. He knows how to plan for your desires. He knows how to plan. He's a good, good planner. And if I can just ask you one thing today, it would be that you go and you just say, God, I thank you that you are love, that you have a perfect will, and that you've given me a will. God, show me how to choose with my free will to come into line with your perfect will for me. Help me to rule and reign in my life. Help me to bless and be a blessing. Help me to, wherever I'm planted, be fruitful and multiply. Help me to fill my patch of the earth with the goodness of God. Help me to cultivate a culture of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. And just begin to release from me the rivers of living water, the creative, life-giving, powerful presence of you, God, wherever I am. Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just take everything that I've said, and if there's nothing, if there's anything that is not biblical, not theologically correct, I pray, Father God, that your grace and your blood would cover it. That, Father God, anything that I've said which is not of you would be forgotten and fall to the wayside. But if there's anything that would deeply bless the precious listener, I pray, God, that it would take root in their heart and their souls. That, Father God, you'd renew their minds, renew their spirits, renew their souls. And, Father God, that you would begin to explain to them your will for their life, that this would have an impact on how they do family. In your precious name, thank you, God, that we are part of your family, that we are brothers and sisters. I am the sister of whoever is listening because of the bloodline of Jesus. Thank you that the bloodline of Jesus means that we have access to wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the decisions we face today. Thank you for your power, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fact that we can speak to situations and see them move and change. Thank you, Father God, for your glory that is within us and available to us. And Father God, we just pray that you would bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening again, friends. Until next time, be blessed.